Hi, guys.
Hey, yo.
It's so good to see you.
Yeah, sure.
No, I just saw you this morning on screen.
Right?
Yep.
As did I. I watched it this morning.
Every time I'm astonished by the same things. Number one, Charlie looks exactly the same to me. I'm sure if you did a side-by-side.
Yeah, that's there,
but
a generous.
In my mind, that's what you look like.
Sure.
And Glenn is incredibly funny, like in ways that I forget about, and then I'm reminded of, and then I'm reminded of being in the editing room and watching both of you guys, and just being like, "What the fuck? How am I gonna catch up with these guys?"
He's unintentionally insulted both of us. Did you notice that? He said, "You look young, but I'm funny."
Yeah.
So in other words, you look young, but you weren't that funny.
Yeah,
and I'm funny, but
you're
I look
looking
like
old.
Shit.
Yeah,
I'm starting to look
but you
old.
Know what it is. That's such a pessimistic way of looking at things.
Yeah. I picked up on it, too.
Did you?
I saw
your face.
I was like, I'm pretty fucking funny in that episode, man.
You're unbelievably my God. This is what it's like. Listeners, this is what it's like working with these guys.
No, it isn't.
They take no compliments. They turn them into
insults.
Well, in my mind, you guys are both those guys as well. So even though we're much older and many, many years of past decades, actually. You guys, when I look at you, I see those two younger guys.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
If I look closely, I see the difference.
Yeah, but I don't have to look that close.
I love this episode.
Me too.
Yeah.
I love this episode.
You know what I really like? Just the beginning scene of us just sitting at the table, and it feels loose and real in a way and conversational where we're just not going for any jokes too hard, but it's also really funny, but it's very natural.
Well, and in that first scene, it was not written in the script that you couldn't read.
That's right.
Document, that was something that you just wanted to do. You were like, I'm going to try something.
Yeah.
And you just like,
and I distinctly remember you, Glenn, being like, this is so dumb. And then me being like, I think it's dumb too, but it's also funny. And you're like, wait, are we literally saying, we're on set. And you're like, are we literally saying that Charlie can't read?
Right.
And we were like, I get. And Charlie's like, yeah, I guess so.
And me being like, guys, I got you guys covered on this one. This is going to play.
You were right.
I don't remember having objections to it, but I don't know why I would object to him doing one take.
No, it wasn't certainly like, hey, don't do that. It was more like, wait, are we making a massive character choice right now on the fly in the middle of a scene?
But this is a funny thing about Charlie Day, not Charlie Kelly, but Charlie Day, is that he is both constantly making his own character dumber and dumber.
Yes.
And also complaining about how dumb his character's getting to us. As we're writing things,
That's the clown baby
conversation. This is true. This is a very true thing that you're pointing out.
Yeah. Where, you know, I mean, you yourself just admit, you're like, trust me, this is going to play, you know, and, you know, sort of implying that you had to talk us into, you know, giving your character like an incredibly, stupid character trait. I mean, a funny one, but a stupid one, a character trait that makes him stupid. But yeah, as we're writing it, you're always upset that you feel like your character is getting too clownish and too dumb.
Yeah.
I guess we did talk about that in the last one, didn't we?
Yeah, clown baby.
Yeah, the clown
baby. Yeah, or now, like in the later years, not clownish enough or something.
Right.
No, I'm constantly doubting my things. I'm just very sure of my opinions that I then later doubt.
Well, yeah. Well, yes.
In the moment, I'm crystal clear. And then, you know, weeks after the fact, I'm just like, I don't know.
That's a good quality, though.
Well, yeah, because I think, you know, you have both things in your head at the same time. You recognize how funny it is when your character sometimes is really stupid, or maybe even stupider than it even makes sense for the character to be, given what we've shown the character to be like in the past or whatever, that it's super duper funny, but you're afraid of losing like the grounded quality and like the real feelings and intentions that the character like really needs stuff, and that he, you know, really exists as a real person in this world. And yet when we go too far in that direction, you're like, oh, you're ups- you get upset that you're not getting enough funny shit to do. Like you're making him too, like we're making him too real, too.
Or he's just the voice of reason.
Voice of reasoning. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know. It's funny. It's a kind of a push pull in that way. I weirdly feel like
We all have that. You have that with like how evil your character might get, right?
I do. Yes, like, that is true.
This arch. Is too arch, too evil.
Totally. You know? Yeah, yeah. And yet, I also push it in arch and evil directions myself. So I do the exact same thing because I'm always like, is it getting too serial killery, too creepy?
This is the creative process, right? It's
am I a serial killer? Am I not?
Yeah.
That's the process.
This is the process.
Right.
You kill one person, you're like,
well, I'm a murderer, but I'm not serial.
Not for me. That's I didn't get the satisfaction out of that. And then you stop, right?
So you're a murderer, but you're not a serial murderer.
Then you try
the second one.
You try it again, and you're like, okay, maybe I'm starting to see the something to this, right?
Okay.
And then
it's definitely easier the second time.
By the third and fourth, you're like, you know what would be cool if I could talk to cops a little bit? So you start with like messaging, right?
Right.
You know, like, and then next thing you know, you look back on it and you've got a great body of work.
You're like, how can I make a whole sentence? Like, can I make a whole sentence or only one word out of this guy's teeth?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You start thinking, I'm going to need more guys to get the sentence.
So I'll start with a word, a phrase at a time, and then the cops will put it together. And then by the time I've collected
victim, you can make one word out of their teeth and then you put it all together and there's a message in there.
That's the creative process, and I'm sure
that's the creative process.
There's a lot of potential murderers out there.
Yeah, and I'm sure a lot of the murderers are like, you know, am I going too far with the messaging here? You
right,
know, like, am I too psychotic? And then they complain. They're like, oh, this other guy's way more psychotic than me. I just, like, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Right. They don't want to be looked down on as just simply crazy. It's like, you don't call me crazy. I'm a genius. I'm an artist. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're almost upset. But then some other serial killer does something that's way crazier than what you did, and you're like, well, that, don't show me up.
Well, no, I mean, also, are they changing with the times as well? Are they looking at their body of work and saying, you know, I need to be more inclusive, right? So they're changing with the culture as well.
In other words, they feel like I've killed too many white ladies.
Exactly.
We need to expand it up.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm sure they feel those pressures.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, everyone does. They don't want to get canceled for that.
Sure.
I would actually say that there's an argument to be made that like making Dennis a serial killer or like we're suggesting that maybe he is is less evil than what we're kind of doing in these episodes because once you go to that place you're like, oh, well, this is like a cartoon. It's very clearly satire. Whereas this one, like, Charlie is like in this woman's apartment and just like casually, she's saying no over and over and over again. And Charlie's like being like, I'm not leaving. And like,
but he's so likable that.
I know he's still lovable. He gets away. He gets away with it. But when you look at it and you're like, well, we're not really commenting on that aspect of it. So we were like blind to that because we were like, oh, well,
no,
everybody knows Charlie.
No, we weren't remotely blind to that. Like, are you kidding me? Like, completely aware that was inappropriate for the character to be doing. And that's where the humor was coming from, which is like, this poor girl has to deal with this guy's terrible behavior. She was only 11 when we shot that.
We also then in this episode suggest that she's a terrible person as well, which is the first time we really Now that actually brings up an interesting thing because there's a very massive inconsistency in this episode that makes no sense.
What is that?
And the reason it makes no sense is because we aired this episode after an episode that was previous to this.
Oh, the Mac Bangs Dennis's mom episode?
Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm. So it's, we're talking about the waitress as if Frank didn't sleep with her. Which he does in the episode, right?
Yeah.
So I remember what happened was FX loved that episode so much, and we did. Frank,
that one and the welfare one.
Yes.
They pushed both of them up.
Yes.
And $100.
And they were like, we want to put these in the front and kick this one to the later part of the season. And we were like, that doesn't really make any sense because it doesn't really track. Right. We know that Dennis slept with her.
Mm-hmm.
That happened
in season one.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we don't know that. But then Frank says, Charlie's with the waitress girl. It doesn't make any sense. And the network was like, we don't care. And at the end of the day, it doesn't seem like the audience cared.
Yeah, it was supposed to be the third episode. Yeah, it was supposed to come right after the gang goes jihad. I mean, that's what we're talking about in the beginning. Like, we burned a building down. I mean, I think you could easily miss that if you're not tracking the arc of it. You'd just be like, I guess they burned a building down. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Or they finally went to court for it.
Right.
Yeah, but I think it just plays like Dennis slept with her in the past. But it didn't bump me so much with the...
It's the conversation.
Frank thing.
It's the conversation with Frank, where he's just like, "What's the deal with this waitress and who is she?" Like,
yeah,
he had sex with her.
Yeah.
But all he
said, and then she freaked out, and then you cried.
All he says is that Charlie's with that waitress,
which
girl.
Was a fake tear, I remember.
Was it?
Well, no, it wasn't. No, you know what it was, though? It was just...
You held your eyes open.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a
my
good
eyes were nice and dry.
That's a real tear, though. I was being funny because I remember how you worked hard to get that out, and it worked so well with the timing of it. So
the timing were good, but like, no, the trick and the technique for young aspiring actors at home is sometimes you do a few takes, you can really get it. Sometimes you're like, oh, we need one more, and you're like, well, I can't fucking get tear out.
Right.
And if you just don't blink for a while, those eyes get nice and dry.
Or they come and blow those crystals into your eye. Yeah, I don't remember.
We didn't have a crystal budget. That,
what are those? It's like a
menthol
crystal. So yeah this is great for your eyes. A lot of people don't realize this, but yeah, there are a lot of crying actors. People who probably won Oscars. Off of a crying scene where really all that happened was a makeup artist came and they have this thing where they blow air through, what is it? Oh, yeah, menthol crystals.
Menthol crystals.
And so it's literally blowing minty menthol air directly into your eyes right before you shoot something. So you're just crying like a motherfucker because it really stings.
Yeah. No, this is amazing. That's how sometimes they get kids to cry. Yeah. Now think about this, listeners.
Right, right.
They're literally taking children and blowing menthol crystals into their eye to get them to cry.
People already don't like us out here in Hollywood.
Speaking of abusing the children, the kids in this episode are fantastic.
Yeah,
yeah.
Their little performances, little because they're little, but like the kid who gets like spiked on the back with the pin.
Yeah.
He nails like the
the
realness of like getting nailed with that pin. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah,
flip-flop kid, man.
Flip-flop
kid.
Yeah, flip-flop.
In his socks, who raises
Thanks,
his
Dad.
Head. Thanks, Dad. Yeah.
Oh, that part makes me laugh so hard. Like,
yeah. I've forgotten.
Like,
yeah,
basically, like implying that like this kid is the one father figure this kid has ever had.
Yeah,
and
you quickly crush his dreams.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
I remember that we shot that basketball. By the way, I think the direction of this episode is really good. Dan Attias again.
Yep. Yeah.
Like the coverage is good, and we shot that basketball sequence. First up in the morning. And I'd gotten to set and I'd had my breakfast burrito and a full like cup of coffee and got out and started running around. I remember being like, I'm gonna throw up all over these kids.
And yet you did some pretty extraordinary physical feats.
Oh,
that
one shot is so great.
Yeah,
I remember it was just continuous.
Yeah.
Where he throws the ball at 30 again and then continuously comes back.
I stuffed that kid so hard. It was great.
That felt good.
Oh, of course,
it feels good to stuff somebody, even if
and that was. It's not like that was planned. It's not like this was
a free for all.
Well choreographed.
No,
sequence.
It was a total free for all. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we thought it was so funny that we went and got an extra spiking shot.
Where we did.
Like, there's another shot where I spike a kid. We're like, let's just get a close up, like from low of me stuffing some kid.
Yeah.
This is the first time I think. Maybe I'm incorrect. I think this is the first time we refer to Dee as a bird. Because I remember later on you guys are talking about her as Larry Bird, but I say that she looks like Big Bird.
Yeah, and this wasn't even the first time. Like, this wasn't the beginning of us calling her a bird. The beginning of us calling her a bird was the Larry Bird joke in the serial killer episode in season 3. This just happens to be a joke that happened a year before we sort of discovered that joke.
Yes, because she did.
Because she did look like Big Bird. But that was based on, I remember us looking up, talking to costumes and like being like, we had a very specific idea in our head of like what this pants suit should look like and finding pictures on the internet to show the wardrobe department to be like, this is the kind of pants suit that we're, we want her to wear.
Yeah.
I love the
there guy. Was there a specific coach? Wasn't there a specific coach that used to wear pants suits like that or something?
There was a woman
female basketball coach.
One of the most successful female coaches of all time. Her name is Pat. We'll have to look up. Meg, can we do a little research? I think her name was Pat. Her first name was Pat.
Okay.
She used to wear a nice solid pantsuit.
Yeah,
I think we used her as a reference.
One color, just top to bottom pantsuit.
I feel like I remember there being some discussion about that outfit, being like, is this too cartoony?
I don't remember. Yeah, maybe.
Pat Summitt. Pat
Summitt. And are you finding pictures of Pat Summitt, and is she wearing a unicolor pantsuit? Let's have a look. Oh, yeah,
there
it is.
I believe. Yeah, there's Pat.
There it is. There. Good for her.
Yeah.
Does it upset you guys to think about the fact that the kids that are in that episode are probably 35 years old now?
Yeah, that's disturbing.
They're maybe not that old, but they're probably, I mean, how old are they? They're definitely in their mid to late 20s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Right? Because they were 11. Oh,
let's say
they're in their late 20s.
Let's say they were 11 years old in 2006. So, yeah, they're like 26, 27 years old now.
Oh, sure.
Wow.
Hey, maybe this is interesting. Basketball, huh? Rob, you used to play a lot of basketball. You used to go to the Y.
Oh, yeah.
That's Rob, actually true.
And Rob's a big basketball player.
You did play basketball. No, I was not a good basketball player.
Glenn, you played basketball too,
we played
right?
every Saturday.
We played every Saturday, yeah, with Chris Backus.
Chris Backus has come up a number of times.
We're gonna make sure we find a way to mention Chris Backus.
We got
to
bring him on the show.
Every single
do you
episode.
Miss it? Do you miss your basketball playing days? Do you have regrets? Do you feel as though you could have accomplished more? Walk us through your playing days and...
It was fun. I mean, yeah, it was like Saturday.
It was
Saturday
great.
It was fun. It was actually something to look forward to because like all week long we'd have like no auditions or maybe you'd get an audition and then there would be like nothing to do. Then you know, I'd work at the fucking restaurant. Glenn didn't. He'd be watching movies.
I had a lot of that 80s show.
If you guys are going head to head in a game of hoops, who's winning?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, at this point, I have no clue. I don't.
I could outlast his body because he's got some back issues. Oh, no, remember you fucked your ankle up. You rolled your ankle real bad one time.
That's why I stopped.
Like, straight to the emergency room shit.
Correct. Did you take me to the emergency room? Who took me to the emergency room?
No, I had to keep playing, man. I was probably hot hand. No, I think I did.
I think you did take me to the emergency room. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
That was, we used to play. I was the same way. I really, really enjoyed that game. It was super, super fun. We would all play, and then a lot of times we'd go get brunch afterwards. Just a bunch of sweaty dudes eating waffles.
How long did you wait in that emergency room? Quite a while, I'm going to be.
I don't remember. God, I don't even remember. I think we went to... I don't even remember what emergency room we went to. I feel like we drove all the way to Cedar Sinai.
I think we came back over the other side of the hill.
Yeah, because we lived in West Hollywood. Yeah. I think you took me to Cedar Sinai.
And then Antrium.
Oh, Antrium.
Met us there, yeah.
Yeah, my girlfriend at the time.
But he probably went right in because I remember we thought it was like broken. It was like his leg.
Yeah, but they'll let you sit in the waiting room. You could have your foot dangling off your body. They'd be like, all right, take a seat.
Right, yeah. I don't remember it being that bad, but I do remember I came down. What happened was I went up for a layup and I came down on someone's foot, which is something that happens in basketball all the time. And it was audible.
Yeah.
You could hear it through the gym.
You were screaming. I remember, like, we were like, this guy fucking broke everything.
It was. I still shiver thinking about it now. Like, it traumatized me to the point where after that, even after it healed and was like totally healed, I was never the same again. I was never that great of a basketball player. The one thing I had going for me was I was fast and I was aggressive. But I was never that skilled because I never, and I always regretted never going to basketball camp. I had so many friends who went to basketball camp and they had the fundamentals.
Got better with that left hand.
At the end of the day, it's a fucking tall man sport and we're not tall. Yeah. So like there were a few guys there that could literally dunk. Backus being one of them.
Right.
The other guy who you were friends with, he could dunk. And like,
who?
You're like playing, I use an actor.
Oh, Steven?
No, not Steven. Tall guy. He was on a bunch of TV shows, too. He was like one of the working...
Josh,
yeah.
Right.
And these guys could dunk. And we were like, at the end of the day, it's like playing volleyball with a guy that's 6'7". Like, you're going to... Right. Yeah. There's no shot.
There's a lot of sports where height is definitely an advantage. And basketball, inarguably, is one, which is pretty much why I was like, fuck
basketball.
But I remember
playing with our buddy Michael Trotter.
Trotter's
who
awesome.
Who was shorter than me. He's like 5'9", 5'10", maybe.
He's an extreme outlier.
Extremely good athlete. But also, like, he went to tons of basketball camps, right? So he had great handles. Like, he could really dribble the ball. And I... just never could do it. It's really sad too because I mean, basketball was my favorite sport. I played it every single day growing up.
Yeah.
I played so much basketball well into my mid to late 20s that it really makes no sense that I was not ever very good.
I'll tell you, if I recall correctly, the real reason we stopped, because I think you were, you came back and then
I did.
There were a couple of fights that almost broke out.
Yeah.
Or like literally holding guys back.
Yeah.
And we were like, what are we doing?
Somebody elbows somebody.
Earlier, we were in our mid-20s. I was like, I don't want to get into fist fights anymore.
Yeah.
Like that's gone. But guys took it very seriously. And then it just kind of fell apart.
It was funny to see like the guys that would roll through too. Because it was kind of, there were like actors and managers. I remember Aaron Paul rolled through at one point. This was like long before Breaking Bad. We're talking 2002, 2003. I remember Aaron Paul rolling through. I remember Jared Padalecki. Is that how you pronounce his name? The guy from Supernatural.
That's right. He's tall.
Super tall.
Super tall.
And was also handsome.
This is the kind of shit. Good basketball player, tall, handsome. And I was like, I don't need this in my life.
Making you feel bad about yourself, making you feel small and ugly.
Small and ugly and untalented and unathletic.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then they want to pick a fight with me and I got to run out of there because they'll kick my fucking ass. I lose in every way.
No. No, you were pretty scrappy. Dude.
No, you're pretty scrappy when it came to fighting.
But you remember.
I put my money on you in that fight.
Yeah, me too. All day.
I don't know.
That anger.
Glenn, we'll do a side bet.
Yeah, definitely.
We did a whole episode about that.
Yeah. Do you remember the Baldwin brothers showing up?
Yes.
Daniel Baldwin.
Which two?
Yeah.
Not Steven, not Alec. Daniel and Billy.
Billy's great.
Okay.
Yeah, Billy's nice. And Billy, who I did a pilot with back in 2003 called EDNY.
Yeah.
So I kind of knew Billy a little bit.
Which one is the one in Usual Suspects?
That's Steven.
That's Steven.
I sat next to Stephen Baldwin on a Southwest airline flight to Las Vegas.
Mm.
I got in the middle seat, and I was jammed between like Stephen Baldwin and his like parole officer or somebody, or his like sober coach or something.
Oh, you guys were all in coach?
Well, that's Southwest, so I think it's all. I don't think there is a first class in Southwest.
Mm.
It was a quick. I'm not going to waste the money. I'm just flying to Las Vegas.
Yeah, of course.
Really quick.
What year are we talking about here?
This is recently. This is like 5 years ago. I want to take a private jet to Vegas to go.
I think that's what the fans expect. You know, I think they think that that's the lifestyle.
Sure, they watch an episode like this and they're like, these guys got private jets.
This is a private jet.
Yeah.
That's right.
No, we don't. I didn't get the best seat. I didn't even get the best Baldwin.
Charlie, did you ever play basketball? The way you stuffed those kids certainly seemed to imply that you did.
Sure, yeah. I mean, in my neighborhood, you played every sport, right? I was with my buddies, and we played plenty of basketball, but I was never any good at it, terrible at it.
I would say that Charlie is definitely the most athletic out of the three of us, which I think people... I don't know if the people find that hard to believe, but they're like when people play certain sports with you, they are surprised by how good you are at them. Like you're a natural, you can swing something.
I feel as though it flusters people, which I enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, or they're like, why can't I drive a golf ball for this guy?
Absolutely.
I'm like, fuck.
Oh, yeah, that is true. Golf and baseball, for sure, you've got
and
the
hockey.
Advantage. Yeah.
So we've been
hockey.
On ice. Yeah. We've been on ice on
sure.
the, in the
oh,
show.
Yeah. Right.
And I had to, go out there and like learn how to skate. And like, I looked terrible. And like, I'm trying to, and then we would just fuck around. And Charlie just picked it right back up.
I was into sports. I played a shitload of sports. Just
we could
well,
be
I
him.
Was into
we
sports,
could
so I just sucked.
We could beat him at ping pong, though.
You guys could
all
be
day.
You could. I'm terrible at a racket sport.
Really?
It's sort of that
same hand-eye coordination.
Yeah, but the angles don't make. I also want to like hit something as hard as I can and have it go as far as I can. And
right,
but
you want to bash.
I want to bash it. But
I remember watching the Boggs episode, which we'll talk about at some point. But we're obviously on a field there, and you don't usually see yourself on camera throwing something. You just think, oh, I can throw a ball, right?
Yeah.
From the mound to the plate. And I remember watching it on camera and being like, is that the way I throw?
Oof.
And you guys being like, yes.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, that is so unathletic. But then when you took a cut, like you swung the ball, I remember, being like, this doesn't even make any sense. He's supposed to be hammered. And why would Charlie Kelly know how to hit that well? It looked like a true baseball player's swing.
Yeah. Well, he played...
Yeah, well, of course.
Baseball.
You probably play Little League or whatever. Were you throwing with your dominant hand, or was that a camera angle thing where we're like, Rob, you're going to have to throw this one with your right hand because we're...
No, I was throwing with my dominant hand. We should go back. We'll
talk
about that when we go to
boxes. You're a little bit ambidextrous, though. Which hand do you throw with?
I throw with my left.
You've made great strides in golf, I will say. When we first started playing, I was like, well, it's, it won't be his thing. And you've gotten quite good.
Yeah.
Glenn, we'll eagerly await you. Presence.
I'll get
out there.
I'll get there. Come
join us.
You know, took me a second to come around on dogs, and now I'll come around on golf eventually.
All right. Well, I'm sure we're thrilling the audience here. Should we talk about something more salacious?
Sure. Let's. We
could not make this episode in this day and age. We could probably not make the joke where you're only picking the black kids.
Oh.
yeah. for your basketball team?
I don't know.
I think we get away with that.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's the characters stereotyping.
Look, I agree.
Yes.
But I do feel as though right now we're living in a place where we're like, well, this is just highly inappropriate. And
I think we would just take a look at it and say, well, what's the best way to make clear that this is the terrible characters making this choice and not the show itself? Like the casual, like that's where we get in, I think, some issues with previous episodes where we're doing it what's seemingly casual, like as a show.
Right.
Where it was like, you know, we're just using slurs or whatever, not calling them out.
Yeah.
I think this episode's okay in that. I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
Some of the Asian stuff is dicey.
No, yeah.
But it's not that. You said that he was in Vietnam and that he was he has a gambling addiction. So
yeah, these are his gambling buddies. These we're not saying everyone buddies. From Vietnam is that way. We're just saying that his buddies are that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I know what you mean. Yeah, it could be a little dicey here and there. We established in this episode that the waitress is an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Which was another thing that we had established in this episode. Oh, by the way, got to do a shout out for my buddy Patrick Callahan, who mm-hmm. plays the AA. What do you call the person who leads the meeting? The meeting leader? I don't even know.
Sure.
I don't know. Because I'm not an... Well...
Oh, I am.
So what do you guys think? Are you alcoholics?
Yes.
I think... I've taken a really good long look at it. And, you know, as we all know, I'm not currently drinking, but
that's supposed to be anonymous.
I think I have tendencies, but I actually don't think I am an alcoholic. I think an actual alcoholic literally has no control over it, like cannot stop. And
I don't know how AA defines it, though, right?
To stop, I can just stop.
You can just stop.
And I think that's I don't fixate on it.
It's a common theme among alcoholics. I can stop whenever I want.
Yeah, but only they can't.
Yeah, dependency is the key. But I think like AA specifically, or even just
It's also obsession with it, right? Like so.
Yes.
If every night you're like, okay, I'm not gonna have a drink tonight, mm-hmm. and you actually don't.
Yeah. Just the but fact that you're thinking about
the fact
it
that you're thinking you're about it, on it. Yes, yeah. And that you're having to make that very conscious, you know, decision to not have a drink.
Well, I do a lot of rationalization around it. So it's like, yeah, like it's something I think about, right? So like I have family members who drank themselves to death. I mean, literally to death.
Yeah.
Like sclerosis, right? But then you'd find out like, oh, he would wake up every day and he would start his day in the morning with a drink.
Right.
And not stop until he went to sleep.
Right.
So I would see that and then I go, oh, well, I'm not that. I have one Manhattan every night.
Yeah.
But if I don't, I'm like, I kind of have that Manhattan.
The fact that you can have one, that's like, I don't know. That's a habit, not an addiction, I think.
Alcoholism light, yeah. I think, if that's a term. I'm sure that isn't.
If you're spending your entire day thinking about that Manhattan, then
that's... I don't.
Yeah, that's a different thing.
Yeah, because you know you're going to have it.
Yes.
You know,
but sometimes, okay, this is a bad sign. Sometimes I'll say to myself, well, you know, let's just not have one tonight. And then when I get to that point, I'm like, well, I'll just have one.
Just one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
It's just one.
Well, you're addicted to one Manhattan. I don't think that's so bad.
No, it's not. You not know, the worst like, thing
that's,
in the world.
That's okay.
It's so good.
Yeah.
But if you said you want to have a Manhattan right now, I have no interest.
Well, that's good. That means that I'd say...
Whereas with smoking, mm-hmm. I know some people that can just have a couple of cigarettes from time
to time. I was always
that
way.
Yeah, you were that way. I never could do that.
No, but like when you were smoking and I was smoking and we were like, you know what, let's do the podcast, but can we make this a smoking room?
Yeah.
We would just be hacking butts in here.
Yeah. I wouldn't
I
be
mean,
in
I haven't had
that.
A cigarette in
a long time.
Almost 20 years, but like...
Wow. I have. Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I can just have one on the rare occasion. I just have like one, and it's great.
Yeah,
it's
I glorious. Can't. I wish I could do that. I probably could, but
you probably
at this
could.
Point, like, why bother?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's
no,
the thing.
I think the pandemic has probably not done a lot of us too many favors with regard to
alcohol abuse.
Drinking. Yeah, alcohol abuse.
Scamdemic. It's just a total scam by the alcohol companies trying to get us to drink more, man.
It worked.
It worked. Yeah. It sure did, boy. Yeah,
sure did.
It was funny because there was a time where, because I never used to drink at home, really, which may be a surprise to people. They probably assume that I drink all the time, but I don't. I used to almost never drink at home. It made no sense to me. I it made no sense to me ever. I was one of those people like, wouldn't drink all week, and then I'd go out on Friday night.
Me too.
And get absolutely hammered.
Me too. That's what I would do too.
Yeah, I never. But Monday through Friday, I mean Monday through Thursday, or whatever, Sunday through Thursday.
Like when you and I lived together,
yeah,
we would never drink during the week, ever at all.
I don't even know that we even kept beer in the fridge.
No.
Maybe I know.
And then, but then Friday night, we'd just go get blackout drunk.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd make up for it over the weekend, you know, by getting absolutely hammered. But yeah, wasn't like a, and then. You know, and drinking was always like, it was like a special.
And social.
Yeah, yeah, it was a social thing. But that's when it got weird for me. It was like, over the pandemic, I started like, let me just have a glass of whiskey or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was nice. Loose, you know, put the kids to bed. You're kind of loose, a little more giggly than usual, just whatever. And then I remember there being like almost a switch where I was like, I would have a drink and just, and I'd be like, just made me tired. And I'm like, why isn't this fun anymore? And it was somebody.
Because I got to have two. That'll make it fun.
Yeah, because.
By the way, that is what would happen. I would have this. I'd be like, well, the second one, that'll get me going. And then I'd
just
be more tired and irritated.
Yeah. You're not able to get that dopamine rush because you're doing it all the time.
Well, and also, but I think it also isn't. Somebody had to point this out. I was like, I don't know why. It doesn't feel the same. And they were like, yeah, because you used to drink socially. Now you're just drinking.
Yeah.
Not socially. You're just, it's just your kids are screaming and you're drinking.
Yeah.
And it's making you irritated. And I'm like, oh yeah, that is what's happening.
I just got to the point where I'm like, my body and my life was like, that's what, I can't like have a couple beers every night for the rest of my life. What am I doing? It's not serving.
You love beer.
I love beer.
That's your thing. So you would drink beer. So yeah.
It's a high calorie alcohol habit.
It's a high, sure. I don't really care about that.
But it's a lot of liquid.
Yeah, sure.
But it's like, it's more of a commitment. Like, I can drink a Manhattan in like, I think, like 10 minutes.
I would be like, well, I need something to be sipping on now.
Yeah.
Just for the habit of it.
That's the good thing about a beer is it lasts longer. Because if you drink fast, you know.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love alcohol. I mean, I just do.
Maybe you are an alcoholic.
Yeah. No, I said yes.
He had said it right off the bat. Yeah. He said that he was.
I said yes. Yeah. It hasn't ruined my life. All signs are pointing towards things continuing.
Not yet. It takes one decision to get behind that wheel.
100%. That I'm very careful about that. I do not drink and drive.
Yeah. No, that's the best thing about Uber. That is like a saving lives left and right.
Yeah.
Guys, this episode brought to you by... Honda.
Have you guys ever done community service?
Yes. I have.
Yeah, me too.
Yep.
Ooh, oh, boy, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure.
Interesting. Yeah. What, what did you have to do community service for, Charlie? What did you do?
I got busted drinking.
Alcohol.
Yeah. I definitely have been... an alcoholic in periods of my life, for sure. But I was 20. I was 20 years old, and I was with a pack of other 20-year-olds. And cops busted in this party, and they're like, all right, someone just, you know, snitch who bought the beer, and we'll let you go. And we're not a bunch of fucking snitches, so nobody said shit, and they arrested us all. And, you know, we got to, like, slap on the wrist how to do community service.
How many hours do you remember?
I don't recall. I don't even really recall what I did for the community service.
You don't remember what you did?
No.
Must not have meant that much to you.
Sure
to
did
do
it.
Something for the community.
Sure did it.
Rob, what did you... What?
Well, a couple of times, but it was all similar things, you know, like stupid, you know, disturbing the peace and, you know, like drunkenness and...
Yeah.
Again, like in high school.
Battery.
In high... Like, right... No.
Assault.
You like coming out of high school.
Disturb the peace. Here we are,
peaceful city of Philadelphia, and you're disturbing it.
We've been disturbed. Arrest that man.
What did you have to do for community service?
Like pick up trash on the side of the road.
Oh. Did they give you a choice, or did they assign you something?
I don't remember. I think maybe, was it? Maybe they were like, well, you can either do this or either do that or something. I remember at one point they... In New Jersey, they gave you could either pay a fine or do the service.
Oh.
And then there was a class action lawsuit against New Jersey, and they got eradicated.
Yeah, because people with money could just be like, all right, fuck it, I'll just pay.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's not fair. You're not doing a service to the community that way. Let's get this guy who's disturbing the peace to do a service for the community. Maybe, yes.
You.
I made an extremely bad error in judgment when I was going to college down in Miami, Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Arguably, you, out of the three of us, what you did could have got you into more trouble than us. But even though we have all... Oh, go ahead. You tell the story.
Well, I mean, so, yeah, I tried to get a fake driver's license from the DMV down in Miami, and they took that very, very seriously. And I was actually charged with... This is crazy to think about. I was charged with 4 felonies.
Yeah.
So technically, I have 4 felonies on my record. Now, I got expunged because I was a first-time offender. So, you know, they were lenient. But I don't think I could join the FBI. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so on a regular background check, it wouldn't come up. At this point...
Because everybody's got a fake ID, or at least we all had fake IDs at one point, but they were actually fake.
Yes.
Or you'd get somebody else's documentation. But when you go in and try to pretend to be somebody else to get actual government-issued... like legal documents, that is, it's a felony.
It was a serious, serious offense. Every time I signed my name, they had me sign my name 3-4 times, and for every signature was a felony. They threw the book at me.
Florida does not fuck around.
Yeah, they're not really known for crime in Florida, right?
Not really, like, no. There's a pretty peaceful, well-adjusted people that living in Florida. Wait, hold on. my community service. No, my community service. So I remember them giving me a giant list of choices, and for some reason, I don't know why I chose this, I just thought it would be interesting. I'm like, well, if I'm going to do it, I want it to be something interesting, not something mindless. So I was actually an assistant English teacher. I would drive to this high school, which at night became a night school. And there were a bunch of Haitian immigrants that were there trying to learn English. And I was teaching them how to speak English. Oh, I don't know how.
They're like, give them the felon.
What?
Florida
is the craziest place.
Florida is the craziest place ever.
Yeah.
This guy's stealing people's identities, potentially. Let's introduce him to a room full of new immigrants. Yeah. That's fucking nuts.
Yeah. And I don't speak, it's not like I speak French. So I couldn't, you know, but most of them spoke well enough to where I could communicate with them.
They didn't need it.
Yeah. But there was I wasn't the teacher. I was like the teacher's assistant. So I was there assisting. But it was a lot. I did like 80 hours.
Yeah.
Of that.
You were a felon.
It was, yeah.
Ooh, well, there's 3 striking examples of white privilege.
100%. That's literally what I was thinking about as we were talking about.
We're talking about
how fun it is to get arrested.
Yeah,
it's so fun. They slap you on the wrist. They give you the community service. And that's
my experience was not fun, guys.
There's
much more to my story where I was, I was in jail. I was in fucking prison. It was horrible.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Okay.
I did not feel privileged at that particular moment in my life. But considering the final result, there's probably some privilege there. Yeah, for sure.
Well, see ya on the next one.
Yeah. I mean, that's another good one.
That's a good one.
You know, or is it? Or a bad one?
I don't know.
Guys, this is the creative process. Yeah. You know, we just try these podcasts and sometimes they work, sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, let's go get a drink.
Yeah,
let's do it.